second day of the conference. And our schedule's a little bit different today than it was yesterday, which I think is good, just to mix it up some. I'm going to go first today, and we're going to be looking at the crucial book, the book of Acts. We're going to look at a little bit of an overview, but here's the thing I want to stress about the book of Acts. The severity of that book, because it's so misunderstood, misused among religious people, denominational people, sometimes even people who are dispensational. Some people want to go into the book of Acts and they want to find out what Paul ate for breakfast and how much he had and what he did afterwards to get rid of the heartburn. And we're not, that's not our goal today, right? We want to show the meaning for the book of Acts. And, you know, most of us in here, we say it's a bridge, but do you really understand what that bridge relates to and how it works? And if you do get a better understanding of the book, it'll help you in your Bible study. Amen. Now, I'm as bad as anybody. I joke a lot, right? And I grew up in a Pentecostal home, so I have some jokes about that sometime. But the sad part about that is those people, a lot of these people are blind. They've like me, they've grown up in religion. They don't have an idea about rightly dividing the word of truth. They have no clue. They don't see any distinctions or differences between Peter's ministry and Paul's ministry. And it leads to a lot of bad things, a lot of bad doctrine, right? One of the reasons I wanted to do this today first is the message that Brother David Osteen preached last night on Ephesians. It opens the door for someone to take the book of Acts and say, look at this, because he hit some great points that I want to hit today and using this book of Acts to help you with that, okay? Now, I am probably the worst with a marker in my hand, but I love having a marker in my hand, right? So it's my place. I'm going to use a marker. Am I? Now, if you got a problem with the art, you take that up with somebody that cares. All right. Let us go to the Lord in prayer, then we're going to go to the study here. Father, we're so grateful for this event, this time of fellowship, your word, the King James Bible, rightly dividing the word of truth. The idea that we can come here and have a mind to go into your word and see what you have said to the church, the body of Christ. And Lord, also that we can see your plan for the nation Israel. Most of all, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for putting your Son on a cross to die for ungodly enemies, sinners, no good, but you chose to die for us because you loved us. And we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We give you all the honor and all the glory for that. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, if you would, turn to the book of John and chapter 21. John and chapter 21. We're going to look at just a couple verses right there. You know, I've heard a lot about the book of Acts recently because there's people going there and they're trying to build a church or a pattern, and they're trying to nail down doctrine that's moving in the book of Acts. You've got to be so careful there in the book of Acts. When I first came to write the vision, I took a lot of time to read again and again the book of Acts. If you read the book of Acts and you're honest with yourself, there's no way that you can fail to see at least two things. One, that Bible in the book of Acts, it starts out with the Jews. It ends with Gentiles. Could you miss that? You couldn't miss that if you tried. You just got to lie to yourself to say it's not that way. Now let me ask you a question. If you're sincere about the Bible and you want to understand the Bible, if you saw it started with the Jews, it ended with the Gentiles, wouldn't the logical question be, what happened? Yeah. Right? Should that get your wheel going? Let's go back and see what happened in the book of Acts. All right? Rightly dividing the word of truth is crucial. Here's the problem. We got people who are making their own divisions in the word of God. Right. And now we need to find where God made the divisions, and we need to accept those divisions. Right? And so when you don't do that, even if you're dispensational, you'll come in here and mess this thing up. You know, what's your greatest argument? Peter preached to the Gentiles. That makes me want to yawn every time I hear it, man. What type of Gentile did he preach to? A Jew-loving, God-fearing, right? No doubt law-keeping Gentile. That's different than the people that Paul went out to and mostly in his ministry, wasn't it?
Right?
So I yawn every time I hear that. But watch here in John chapter 21. And we're just going to pick up in 16. Go to 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith, Simon Peter. Who's Jesus talking to? Yeah, Peter, right? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. He's talking to Peter, is he not? All right, look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine reading and studying the Bible? You just came out of the four Gospels, out of the book of John, and Christ is saying, Peter, feed my sheep. You open up to the next book, and let's just say that book is Romans, and it says, Paul. Where did he come from? You see what the Bible would be if we didn't have the book of Acts to get us from Jerusalem to Rome? Right? Come on, man. You got to say, look here. This thing ain't going to make sense unless we've got that bridge, unless we have the book of Acts that shows the transition from the kingdom program into Paul's mystery program. You with me? And this thing is not that hard. If a dumb thump like me can get this, you folks can get this. I promise you. Right? It starts with the Jews. That ministry is under Peter. So let me say this to you. I didn't count the words in the book of Acts. I fell asleep. Paul and I had a long conversation. I fell asleep counting. No, I didn't. I didn't count at all. But I do know there's 28 chapters, right? Peter is preaching here, right? And then we've got the Apostle Paul. It's so easy to see this thing if you truly want to see it. There again, you couldn't miss it if you tried, if you really wanted to see it, right? The book can be summed up into two ministries. Peter's ministry to the Jews, rejection, Gentiles accepted. Paul's ministry to the Jews, rejected, Gentiles accepted. That's as easy as it gets, isn't it? All right, there's two things going on. You've got a ministry that starts out here. It's very much alive. That's what Peter is preaching. He's preaching a murder indictment against the Jews for killing their Messiah.
Yes, sir.
All right? So when this thing switches over to Paul, Paul goes into synagogues, and what does he preach? Jesus is the Christ.
Yes, sir.
We got dispensational people freaking out over that. Paul's going to preach Jesus is the Christ. Who do you think he's going to preach? Judas Iscariot? Come on, man. He's going to preach Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
Who's going to save him? Right? See, folks, did you know this thing's got something in common? Prophecy and mystery? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If there's no Jesus Christ, there's no salvation for the Jews. If there's no Jesus Christ, there's no salvation for the Gentiles. Are you with me? I mean, we don't need to hack up the book just because we're trying to make a point. Right? There's people now ripping Paul's pages out. That belongs to that group, and that belongs to that group. Give me a break, man.
Yeah.
How much can you shred up the body and still have a body?
Yeah.
Right? It's ludicrous to what some people are trying to accomplish out of their own vanity.
Yeah, right.
If you stay with the book, it comes clear, right?
Amen.
So we've got a program over here. This program is called what? It's called prophecy. And this one over here, it's called mystery. Well, Paul didn't know anything about that in the book of Acts. My foot. He didn't know about the book of Acts. Read Romans. Where was that written? Right? You read the books and you'll find what Paul wrote. And in those books, he says something about the mystery, does he not? Amen. So I want to keep this simple, basic, but I want it to be practical to your soul. Because there's people, no doubt, probably sitting in this room, you might be struggling with some of the smaller details of this stuff. Some of this stuff that maybe you just haven't seen clearly. All right? So the body of Christ, which God puts Paul, the minister of the uncircumcised people, the Gentiles, over that body as the apostle to that body. You with me? All right. Peter here received the keys to the kingdom back in Matthew, right? And he's the chief apostle to the prophetic program, that kingdom program in early Acts. Is he not? Yes, he is. All right. According to prophecy, ask this question. How were the Gentiles to get salvation? Well, you read that through Isaiah, can't we? Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Now my crowd is looking at me like, man, you've already done this to us. Hang with me. You might see something new. I'm going to lay the foundation and then we're going to start looking at some stuff that I think will help you. In Isaiah chapter 60, as the Apostle Paul here in front of me, Lucas, said last night that Isaiah was written to who, folks? Israel, right? So in 60 and 1, what? Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. According to those verses, what's going to happen? Israel rises, and the Gentiles come up through that rise. Am I correct? By the scripture, right? So Gentiles get salvation by the rise of Israel. So over here, Peter's preaching to a nation that needs to repent, receive their Messiah, right? After they repent, receive their Messiah, then Israel will be the tool and the instrument and the vehicle that God will go out and get the Gentiles. Amen. Well, that sounds great. That's preached in every church around us, isn't it? The problem is something changed in the book of Acts, amen, right? So now look at Romans in chapter 11. Imagine, again, if you went from John to Romans, you're over there, Peter, feeding the sheep, and you come to Romans chapter 11, and you got a man here going to tell you that Israel has fallen. Amen. You're going to do what a lot of these people want to do, and they want to throw Paul out of the Bible. Right. I had a guy to attack our Facebook page just recently, calling Paul the Antichrist, because he opposed Jesus Christ. And there's no elevator getting off the floor in that guy's spiritual mind. I mean, it's absolutely toast, right? Amen. It just don't work. It don't even begin to work. The door ain't even closing, right? Look here in Romans chapter 11. I say then, have they stumbled, they should fall, God forbid, but rather through their what? Their fall, not their rise, but what? The fall over here. Salvation has come what? Unto the Gentiles. That's different, isn't it? Them rising, Gentiles coming to them through the rise is different than them falling and Gentiles being saved even without Israel. Something totally different. Pretty basic stuff, isn't it? I wonder how that gets all messed up. Well, I tell you how it gets messed up. When people don't make divisions where God made the divisions and receive those and stand on that firm doctrine, because it will cost you something. Amen? It'll cost you, well, I've talked to people since we've been here, the last day plus. I drive 2 hours to get to church. I'm sure that's because they love driving and riding, right? No, that's how they got to ride and drive to go find a man that will preach them the Word of God. Amen. Huh? And we got people in here that drive an hour to get here. You know what? You know how many parking lots you went through that's got a steeple over the building that says such and such church on the front of it to get here? I can't turn out of my parking lot at home without going through a neighborhood of churches.
Yeah, amen.
And they're all preaching the Word of God. Sure they are, right? According to their own intellect.
Amen.
So this book of Acts is extremely important. Let's put some rubber to this now. Let's get down to where it really hits the road. Because of what this man preached last night, I want you to understand something. If you don't pick up the change that happened when God handed this thing off to Paul and began to work effectually through Paul, right? to take that ministry and go out with it, and then to write the 13 books that he wrote, you're going to be messed up for life. And that's why the people in this room who do this, we need to be ever so careful, because if we plant something in somebody's mind or heart that's absolutely erroneous, it could affect them for life. Yeah. We have to be ever so careful to what we do and how we do it, right? This is some sincere business. Listen, I came from this over here. Grew up in it. I can remember as a child sitting in a funeral home on a pew wondering why God would not raise a body so that the people in that room would believe on him. That's how messed up I was. I wondered why God would not stroll through the hallways of Brenner's Children's Hospital down here at Baptist Hospital and heal those children. I wondered why he wouldn't. What kind of God was that? I wondered that. I had heard all my life about laying on of hands and people recovering, being raised from the dead. Sick men, you know what I never saw? I never saw it happen. Well, brother so-and-so got healed. He was in the hospital for 6 months. Came out, and you saying he got healed by what? Some medicine, right? Some good doctors and care. I'll give God the credit where it's due. But listen, folks, that's not what James talked about. That wasn't, you know, some preacher walking in his shadow, and the man raised up and said, "Hallelujah, let's go to church." It wasn't none of that. I dealt with that. It's sincere business when you start talking about this program over here, even though I can joke about it. And I do that just to make light, but to try to get people to wake up. For instance, there was two charismatics one time. One charismatic looked at the other and thought his faith was weak. He said, "Have you not read that we're supposed to be picking up serpents?" He said, "Yes, but I'm not going to do it till the serpent reads it and agrees with it." Well, you know what? That's a joke, right? But that serpent business is in the Bible, is it not? You get this thing in your mind, you want to roll back over here in this program, you can get some silly stuff going on. I can drive you right now up here in the Appalachians and they're handling rattlesnakes. This conference is over, somebody pulls one out. And I'm going to be like Wendy Bagwell. I'm not looking for the door, I'm making one. Amen? So I just let you folks know this is serious business. It really is serious business. But here's what I want you to see. You already know this is a bridge. You're dispensational Bible people, so you already know there's a change in the middle of Acts, right? Somewhere in the middle of Acts. You know that Paul is our apostle, correct? That's basic stuff for you. So why do I want you to see what it is that I want to try to lay the groundwork for? Because of your spiritual mind, your inner man. Let me ask you a question. What spirit would take you away from what he preached last night in the book of Ephesians, all those blessings, and run you back over here to an elementary law program with signs and wonders? What spirit would do that? You think that's the Holy Ghost?
No,
it's not the Holy Ghost. It's a spirit, but it's not the Holy Ghost. Right? And these people, turn on your television. Listen, folks, if you want to see what the flesh is doing, watch Hollywood. If you want to see what the devil's doing, visit some of these churches.
Yeah.
If you want to know what God's doing, get in this book, Right to the Body. Amen?
Amen?
Hey, those things are real. All three are real. The flesh, the enemy, and the Word of God. They're all real.
Amen.
And people discount that spirit that's out there. That's put them back over here. You have everything that man preached last night out of the book of Ephesians waiting on you. You already have it. You just need to grow into it, basically, right? And you're going to get tugged and put back over here. Let me show you that spirit. Look at Ephesians. Now, you may disagree with me on what I'm getting ready to show you. That's okay. I've been married a long time. I will get over it. Right? You guys were counting how many words were in a book last night. You count all the words in this book, multiply them times two, that's how many times I've heard you're done. Or that's done. Right? You guys are married. No, I'm right. You ain't going to read those directions? Nah, I don't need those directions. And we end up 30 miles off of wherever. She told me one time we were going up in Gatlinburg, and I had Siri telling me how to get there. She cuts me up this mountain, and I said, "I ain't going the right way." She said, "That says you're going the right way." I said, "I'm telling you, that's stupid. She's wrong." I turned around in a guy's driveway, went back the other way. About an hour and a half later, I got to the room. If I'd have gone that mountain, I'd have been there in 10 minutes. Siri was taking me a back road. She just looked at me. She said, "You won't even listen to the guy on the telephone." She said, "Why don't you just throw that away?" Watch this right here. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. This is what I want you to hang on to. And you hath he quickened who were dead and in trespasses and sins. Watch the next verse. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see that? The spirit, little s, that works in the children of disobedience. You're okay with that verse, aren't you? Watch the next verse. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Folks, I can't help but to see two different groups of people in those two verses. That first group would represent the Ephesians, the goddess Diana, immorality, all that according to the flesh. That's what the Spirit had them doing. The next verse, verse 3, is what Paul was in love with. Anybody remember? Religion, right? He thought he was doing God a service. The same Spirit that was drawing these Ephesians off to worship the goddess Diana was working into the Apostle Paul to destroy those who believed on the name of Jesus Christ. You see that? There's two different groups of people there. Can I get you to see? Today, the same Spirit that is leading people out here to murder, to commit adultery, to do all those things, is the same Spirit that's filling up church pews.
Amen. Amen.
Does that make you sick on your stomach or not? For my friends, my family members, that hurts. That's what I'm talking about, how serious this is. It's serious business when you've got family members back here thinking they got to go out here and do something in order to get saved out of their flesh. They've been there for 20 and 30 years. You put a clear King James Bible under their nose and they'll just move it out of the way and say, I know what I've experienced.
Amen.
I've been there, brother. I know what it's about. Well, I was too. Thank God he got me out of it.
Amen.
It breaks my heart to know that this back here, and let me say something about this back here, that's God's Word, right? There's nothing wrong with Peter. There's nothing wrong with Peter's thinking. He's doing exactly what God would have him to do. The issue is when you take Jerusalem and stick it in the middle of Romans, you got a problem. When you take the kingdom doctrine and put it over on Paul, you've got a problem. And people are doing it all around us. What we do, what happens when that... every one of you got a testimony, right? How you came out of something. Right? Did anybody in here at all... And that's a good question. When you got saved, you were in a grace church that were rightly dividing the word of truth. That's where you got saved. Anybody do that? Not a single hand. How many people's in here? 40, 50? Not a single person has a testimony that says, when I got saved, I was in a grace church. Where were you? You were stuck in a mess, weren't you? And one day the light came on, didn't it? And you began to rightly divide the word of truth. And what happened?
I've seen the light.
Amen. And what was going to happen? That light that you got, you're going to take it down to your family, you're going to take it down to your friends, and they're going to do what? They're going to say, praise God, brother, where'd you get that from? No, they're going to look at you like you just grew another head, right? And they're going to say, no, you're a heretic, you're a cult, you're this, you're that, right? That's what they do with it. Well, y'all dead over there. Y'all got a dead church. Well, y'all just need to get Marshall to come in once every 2 or 3 weeks. You know, hey, the Word of God is dead? I think not. We've had them to come to us and say, all y'all do is study the Bible.
Amen.
Duh. That's what I thought it was about, right? Hey, Brother Paul said he had one come to his church. When do we worship, brother? He knew what it meant, wouldn't it? That's what they were looking for, wasn't it, brother? Yeah, when do you get out the ice and pour it down my back, man? I don't feel something. Yeah. If you felt something in here last night, it was about 115. I went home and got on the weights, got on the scales, man, and they laughed at me. I lost 15 pounds in one day. You know that thing was saying that's impossible. Look here. This transition from the Jews to the Gentiles, from Peter's ministry to Paul's ministry. This entire book is to record that fall of Israel. It's not to make you a Jew. It's not to make you a spiritual Israelite. You read the fallen. What it's there for is to bring you into the light that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. And then when we go to the doctrinal books that Paul wrote, it's to bring you into the blessings, seated in heavenly places, all the things that you have in Christ Jesus. Yeah. What's happening is people are being robbed. Somebody else said it. It may have been Corin. It may have been somebody else. The spiritual identity is being robbed, and therefore people never grow. They grow in church, but they never grow in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
They grow in church theology. They grow in doing a lot of work, but they never grow in Christ. You can't grow until you get this thing stapled down about the book of Acts. You've got to have the transition to get you over to the book of Romans, right? And then when you come to the book of Romans, you begin to read with some education now that this program back here has been set on hold while God is now dealing with this mystery body of Christ over here that's going to end with a rapture. Well, I don't like rapture because rapture's not in the Bible. Well, neither is Bible in the Bible, but I can show you a word that will work for rapture, okay? And that word would be this. Gone. Amen. Now, fight with that. When I looked it up in the Greek, you know what it means? Gone. People want to fight over stuff. It's like, do you not read the book and get the doctrine? What if one word don't match up? Do you read the overall, right? And this program here is going to end what? With Christ coming back over here to set up on His throne of glory and to rule in the earth. Amen. Can you see that?
Yeah.
What do most people believe? Open up the song book and read, and you'll see. I can't wait to cross over Jordan. And you know, all that. Man, I'm not going over Jordan. I'm going on up. Amen. You with me? See, all this business here, you've got to get it in your mind settled. You are something in these verses that nobody else ever was in the Bible. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Seated with Him in heavenly places. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You understand that? Hey, you can't get out.
Amen.
What somebody said last night, He's not taking His arms off. He's not taking His legs off. You can't get out. You're there. You're in. Right? And when people don't get this thing, man, they fumble back and they'll get, you know, there is an allure to this back here. I mean, how many people would like to be able to call up a sick friend and say, I'll be there in about 30 minutes. What we're going to do? I'm going to heal you. That would be good stuff, right? Can I tell you that's elementary compared to what you have over here? That is so carnal in your mind to say, I would rather have this than I had to have that. Right? And those people who want to take this, do you know what the next thing they've got on their radar? The 7-year tribulation period. Right? People get all excited about Matthew. Like Matthew's taking them up to heaven. Matthew's leading those people into the time of Jacob's trouble. That's the way Jesus finishes the book almost, right? He's telling them there in Matthew 24 what's coming up on them. Paul is saying, hey, we're not assigned to that day of wrath. We're going to be lifted out of here. Easy escapism. I don't care what you call it, right? People get sick. Anybody ever heard that? Easy beliefism? Well, tag me easy. Some first Marshall's wife made me one that says easy believer. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. Did you stay up all night thinking about that? Easy believer. Well, how easy is it to say Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Scripture, was buried, rose the third day according to the Scripture? I believe that.
Amen.
You know what happened? You got saved.
Amen.
Well, now there has to be some flesh in it somewhere. Haven't you read Peter? See how that messes you up, man? If you'll get down into the Word of God, learn to rightly divide the Word of God. Learn to find these good preachers and teachers that can show you how to keep things separate, right? And just don't go overboard, as he said last night, and end up in Acts 35. I like that, bro. That was a home run right there. That will be used. Amen. There's a couple things that get used out of that. But listen, basic. But here's what I'm telling you, folks. It starts with the Jews. It ends with the Gentiles. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts in chapter 2. Look down at verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by what? The prophet Joel. You know how many people who build their church in Acts chapter 2 probably never read chapter 2 of Joel?
Yeah.
Huh? They've never gone over there and read what Joel said. Well, what's what 17 says? It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. We're getting ready to have a revival.
Let's go, amen.
Amen. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Well, yeah, I saw a man in white come to the foot of my bed. That's too much pizza. And your old men shall dream dreams, and on the servants and on my handmaidens I'll pull out those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day the Lord come. Over here. You know what? I like excitement. Let's jump over those 13 good books that Paul wrote and let's go from here to there. Folks, you don't want to be left behind. Right? You don't want to be left behind. This thing called the rapture, the catching away, the gone, you want to be part of that.
Yeah.
Right? Most people can't even find their way to church on Sunday, and they're going to fight through the tribulation, brother, to find salvation. Amen? Most can't find enough time to read a handful of scripture every day and study, and they're going to fight their way through over here by faith in the tribulation. That's sad testimony, right? You better take this free grace that God's given you right in here, and you better embrace it, and you better say, praise God, I am thankful that I'm not in prophecy. I'm thankful I'm under the grace umbrella of Jesus Christ and all that He did for me.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And you're not going to know that, folks. Listen, there's nowhere in the Bible God said, be ignorant about this. Nowhere. There's nowhere in the Bible did He say, be ignorant about that. We are to know this, and we are to know about this,
yeah.
Right? The whole Bible. You dispensationalists don't have 13 books. No, I've got 66.
Amen.
I just happen to know where to go find my mail.
That's right?
But listen, this back here, you can make spiritual application throughout all the Bible, just about every book in the Bible, every chapter in the Bible, you can make spiritual application. Here's the issue. Most people don't know the difference between application and true doctrine to the church, the body of Christ, right? So they just lump it all together. All right, I'm going to talk about Israel's fall, and I'm going to shut up. Go to Acts chapter 7. I think most of us in this room, we believe what? Israel fell in Acts chapter 7. All right? So You say maybe not. I believe they did. I'll show you a couple reasons I believe they did.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 7. Very important, because the apostle that we have as Gentiles was leading the world's rebellion against Jesus Christ. So it's extremely important to see this stuff. Look in chapter 7 and look down at verse 51. First off, this is not Stephen preaching. This is the Holy Ghost preaching. Right? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist who? The Holy Ghost. You see that? Alright. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? So they persecuted what? The prophets. And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. So they killed the Son of God, didn't they?
Right.
All right. In the four Gospels, they cut the head off of John the Baptist. They hang Jesus on a cross. Here, they are rejecting the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. Everybody see that? God extended that mercy to them, and they still rejected God's counsel. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Basic, but they did, right? Now there, I believe, at the stoning of Stephen, is exactly where they fall. Here's one of the reasons I want you to see why I also believe, another reason I believe they fell. Look at verse 42. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Now look at Hebrews in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 8 of Hebrews. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. In verse 42, chapter 7 of Acts, he uses the term house of Israel. And I'll do it that way. You will not find that term again till you come to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8 and verse 8, the house of Israel. You know why I believe that is? Because that house is fallen.
Yeah.
The doors are shut on that house right now. It's set aside. And that house back here and that ministry that Peter had, it began to decline and to diminish, just like Romans says so, right? As it was declining and diminishing, God was ascending Paul's ministry up. It was going up as the other one was going down. At the conclusion of Acts 28, we go to Romans. Now we've got 13 books, the doctrines of the church, the body of Christ, that have been absolutely thrown away by most people. This basic teaching lets you see this. I do believe because the house of Israel not showing again in Scripture, that should make somebody say, what happened to the house of Israel? Well, the transition of Acts will tell you,
yeah.
Right? So I had a question, and the person happens to be sitting in this room, so I want to answer her question before I step down. I also said to that person, if you want to go outside to do a simple basic teaching, I'll do that for you, right? So she had a great question. And the question was this, and you don't mind me saying, right? I do nothing to embarrass you. I just want to share with you. It's a great question. And it was a great question, not a bad question, right? All right. So her question was, since Paul received the revelation of the mystery about the body of Christ all being one, does that mean now that what was back here is now one in here because it's all one body? That's a great question, right? That's somebody who's thinking for themselves, right? And so the answer is this. No, this back here is according to prophecy. They're in Christ according to prophecy. This over here is something that God revealed as a mystery that was held secret before the world began. And this is a new body, a new agency that's going to inhabit the heavens. And this over here is the agency that he'll begin to deal with again in Hebrews through Revelation to take over the earth, right? So there's one body today where we all lose our identity when we're baptized into Christ.
Amen.
We're no more Jew, we're no more Greek, we're no more Gentile. In here, we're one new man, not looked at after the flesh. Over here, Israel in the prophetic program, that'll come back to life over here in Hebrews, which Paul is dealing with greatly, by the way. That over here is going to take place, and they will endure over to here to their kingdom and their new covenant, in which they will receive their forgiveness, their sins being blotted out. Your sins have already been blotted out, right? All of them. Right? And so there's a future salvation that Israel's looking to. And Israel, we haven't replaced them. We haven't taken their place. You know, well, we got to do Matthew 28 because they fell. We got to take over because America's the great Christian country. That's hogwash, right? That's hogwash. We're not Matthew 28ers. That belongs to Israel. We're ambassadors for Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So this program back here, by the way, this gospel back here could not be preached without water. Right?
Amen.
Started in Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist came and preached it. Jesus preached it. The 12 preached it. Peter's preaching it here. It has an addendum here. And that addendum now is receive the Holy Ghost. That was promised in Matthew chapter 3. Right? Over here with Paul, you better not preach it with water. Okay? It's one spirit baptism. We're all baptized into one body by one spirit.
Amen.
All right? Amen. So the simple thing of this transition, it'll turn a light on for you if you will allow the Word of God to speak to you, right?
Amen.
And listen, when you start to get this, you're going to take it to somebody, and if they happen to have pastor, preacher, or doctor by their name, they're going to try to talk you out of it.
Amen.
Right? But there comes a time where you got to say, I'm going to believe God and not man. All right? All right? Listen, very simple. I wanted to keep it that way because I know some people in here, and I'll get my new name tag in a bit. But there's some people here struggle with some basic stuff sometimes. That's not because you're learning, right?
Yeah.
I was the same way. One of the things that hit me when I saw Paul say one time when I was first studying, those that were in Christ before me. And I was like, oh man, there's the thing that's going to unravel this, you know. No, there were people in Christ throughout all the Bible who died in faith, right? Who believed. They're in Christ. We're in Christ a different way. Nowhere in Scripture you find anybody say we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus other than the Apostle Paul. Right? You've got a special, special salvation. You have a special set of blessings. They're not four-wheel drives. They're not bass boats. They're not log cabins. They're spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Right? You know, people are saying, give me your money and God's going to do something for you. As a brother said last night, he's already done it. Okay? As Richard Jordan says, you ain't big enough and never have been a day in your life to get God Almighty to do something that he's not doing. And God's not doing this over here today. He's doing that. And if you're going to forfeit all the blessings that this brother spoke of in the book of Ephesians last night so that you can hang back here and act like you're speaking in an unknown tongue, I do that sometimes. Sometimes I sound like Elmer Fudd. And if I do that, y'all just be really, really quiet. The bottom line is this, folks. This is where your blessings are. Get in the book. Understand the grace program that the Apostle Paul was given the charge to, right? All right, with that being said, let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for this day. Lord, I know there's a million people that could have done more justice to this. I know there's a million people that could preach the gospel better than I. But there's not one that could preach a better gospel. I give you the praise, the honor, and glory for all that you do here today and tomorrow. And Lord, what you've already done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, I give you that honor and glory. And everyone did say, amen. All right, if y'all want to take 10 minutes to stretch your legs and get you a water, that'd be